Good morning.
Good morning.
A little update from the Baker family first. As you may know, our twins got master's degree in December and decided to use the money they got from graduation to take off and go to Europe. So Trish and I have been empty nesters for a month, and they didn't tell us where they were going. They just told us they were going. And we would get pictures every couple of days of places they'd been. And they both arrived, Francis late Thursday and Mariatu on Friday, back home. And we've been digesting and downloading all the things that they had done for the last couple of days. Trish spent the whole day yesterday just listening to their stories. Francis had flown from Long Island out to Japan. And then from Japan, he went to Vietnam and then to Thailand. And then he went to Ireland. Mariatu went from Long Island out to Ireland, and then she went to Paris, and then she went to Barcelona. She called me when she was in Barcelona because she was stuck for 8 hours in the airport and her plane wasn't taken off because she missed her connection, some mechanical problems. And then she went from back to Ireland, and I think then she went to Amsterdam, and I think she went to about four or five other places, and then back to Ireland, and they both arrived safely, praise God, back home here on Friday. So we're happy to have them back. And now you can pray for them that they can find good jobs. That's their next thing on their agenda. And look forward to the comings and goings of Mariatu and Francis in our lives. We're going to look at Jesus a little bit today. My title of my sermon is Jesus is My Compass. And if you would indulge me a minute, I'm going to read to you the first paragraph of the Confessions of Faith about Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Word of God became flesh. He is the Savior of the world who has delivered us from the dominion of sin and reconciled us to God by humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death on the cross. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He is the head of the church, the exalted Lord, the Lamb who was slain, coming again to reign with God in glory. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help me this morning as we discuss Jesus, that you'd open our hearts, that we would look anew at who is Jesus and why is he so important to us. I pray that you would use me, that you would use each one of us to be Jesus to each other. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a junior in college, I went to a week-long InterVarsity camp in Dublin Gap, Pennsylvania. It's in the middle of a state forest, and I was really excited to be there because they had John Alexander, who at the time was the president of InterVarsity, as the expositor each day. And I'd read one of his books, I don't know if you have or not, but it was a pretty important book for me, and I really look forward to being there with him. Well, on Tuesday, they suggested that we take a couple of hours, 2 hours, and go off on our own and spend time with Jesus. Well, this was a little bit of a foreign concept to me. I had spent maybe 20 minutes here or 20 minutes there spending time with Jesus, but 2 hours seemed a little bit interesting, right? And then so I saw the woods and I headed out to go spend some time with Jesus. I was out there for a little bit, walking along and praying and asking God what he wanted me to do with my life and, you know, all these kind of important things. And as I walked along, I finally noticed I'd been there for about an hour. Okay, it's time to head back. So I looked around. I didn't know where I was. Not a clue. Not even a clue. And I looked, and there was a little bit of a hill there, so I decided, well, I'll climb up to the hill and see if I can see the camp from there. And I climbed up to the top of this little hill. It was actually a ridge. And as I climbed up, I looked, and all I saw was trees. No camp. No nothing. So I said, well, I'll follow the ridge, maybe to lead somewhere. So I started to follow the ridge. And as I walked along, I kept praying. I kept spending time with Jesus and talking to him. And as I talked and as I was with Jesus, a couple hours went by. I finally found a stream, and I said, well, I didn't come by this before, so I know now I'm really lost. I crossed the stream anyway and figured I would go in a straight line and maybe I'll find something. And about an hour later, I found a road. It was a country two-lane road where the trees were right against the edge of the road, 30, 40 feet tall, and just two lanes. And I said, oh my goodness. So I picked a direction. I kept praying, and I walked along, and about 30 minutes later, I saw no car until this one came by. And the guy looked at me and said, and stopped and said, are you lost? Because you're in the middle of nowhere. And I said, yes, I am lost. And he said, okay, where are you at? And I told him the camp I was at. Oh, I know where that is. It was a few miles away, by the way. So he drove me back to the camp. I'd missed 6 hours of the camp, two sessions, and dinner. But I was okay. And me and Jesus had a really good time together. What's it mean to follow Jesus? How do we do that? What should it look like? Let's take a look at the first disciples and explore these questions together. If you want to, you can turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 19 to 42. This passage is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's about 30 years old. John the Baptist was also around, and he's starting his ministry up too. He had already baptized Jesus and was causing quite a stir out at the Jordan River, so much so that the leaders in Jerusalem sent people out to investigate John the Baptist. Starting at verse 19. Now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he had not failed to confess, but confessed freely, I am the Messiah. They asked him then, who are you? Are you I am not the Messiah. Did I say that right? I am not the Messiah. Who are you? Then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? No, I am not. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say for yourself? And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Now the Pharisees, who had been sent, questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not a Messiah or Elijah or a prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. This happened in Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming down toward him and looked and said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man is coming after me who surpasses me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, a man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize. You baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by again. And he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translates Peter. So what do we learn about Jesus from this passage? My book of names, biblical book of names, says that John means proceeding. John's ministry was clear, to help people see Jesus. I want everyone to take a minute, stand up, look at me. And I want you to guess what Scott is holding up over his head behind you. But don't look. Don't look. What's he holding? Anyone have a guess?
Bulletin.
A bulletin. What else? What could it be?
Offering plate.
Offering plate. Okay. What do we know? Okay, turn around and look. What's he holding? Jesus. John the Baptist's ministry. You can sit down now. And you can put that away if you want, Scott. Thank you. John the Baptist's ministry was to have people turn around and look and see Jesus. Turn around and look means repent. He wanted people to repent, to turn around and see Jesus. The leaders of Jerusalem were concerned about this John the Baptist and his ministry, and they sent people to investigate him and asked him who he was. I'm not a prophet, John said. I'm nobody except the person pointing out Jesus. I am the voice, the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist, according to Jesus, was the greatest prophet of all. And John states that he's not even qualified to untie the sandal of Jesus' feet to wash them. John's job was to help people see Jesus. And John calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's quite a title, isn't it? He could have called him the King of Kings. He could have called him the Lord of Lords. He could have called him the Creator of the world and had been accurate. But instead, John calls him the Lamb of God. This indicates not only who Jesus is, but what Jesus has come to do, to take away the sins of the world, all the sins of the world, my sins, your sins, my past sins, my future sins, my present sins. Jesus has come to take away our sins. There are many references to the Lamb of God in the Old Testament. Two of them are these. In the story of Abraham, Abraham's called to sacrifice his son Isaac. Remember the story? He's climbing up Mount Moriah, and Isaac says to him, "Where's the sacrifice, Dad?" Right? And as they climb up, Abraham says to him, "God will provide for himself a sacrifice." And as Abraham lifted up his hand to sacrifice his son, the angel cries out and says, "Stop. There's a ram in the thicket." And Abraham sacrificed that instead. God had provided a sacrifice himself. In the story of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, Moses told the people to select a lamb, to sacrifice it, and to take the blood of that lamb and to paint it over around their doorway. that night when the angel of death passed over Egypt, killing the firstborn. He spared the firstborn of the Israelites and everyone who had painted their door. Even some Egyptians had followed the Israelites and painted their door, and their sons were spared. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In our passage in John, John the Baptist tells his disciples that the Lamb of God is here and that he is Jesus. John knows this because he saw the Spirit when he was baptized, when he baptized Jesus, come down and rest on John, on Jesus and remain. It's interesting to me that John doesn't himself follow Jesus, but instead is humble with his role of just pointing out to people who Jesus is. The two disciples follow Jesus, and you have an interesting, awkward moment here, don't you? For the first time in the book, Jesus is being followed by two guys. Picture this for a moment. He could have ignored them. He could have just kept walking on, speeded up. But instead, he turns around and invites them into conversation. They said, Rabbi, Jesus says, what are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you staying? Is that the best question they could have asked? They could have asked him, what's his plans? Are you either the Messiah? But they ask instead, where are you staying? Because they really want to know, are you really the Messiah? Come and see, Jesus invites them. Come along. And they followed him and spent the day with him up until 4 o'clock. Then Andrew goes and finds his brother. I wonder why he did this. I have a small suggestion for you. You ever wanted to make sure something was true? How do you make sure something is true? You find someone you trust, and you have them investigate it too. So I think Andrew goes and finds his brother, brings his brother along and says, I have found the Messiah. And then Jesus looks at looks at Simon and says, you will, from now on, you'll be called Peter. These men had a journey like no other journey. It was a journey of ups and downs, a journey of learning and growing in faith. These men experienced miracles beyond their highest hopes. Where Jesus went, they went. They found the Messiah. Like them, we follow Jesus today. We follow him because he is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. We follow him because there is no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Like Andrew and John, is to spend time with him. How do you do that? We read the Bible, study the Gospels, we go off and have 2-hour quiet times, not in the woods in the state forest, especially not this time of year, please. And we listen to Jesus. What will it look like? Life is full of a series of forks in the road. Each fork is a decision we make. At each fork, we decide if we're going to follow Jesus or rely on our own desire. We ask the question, what would Jesus do? And what would Jesus choose us to do? And we choose to follow that. That's what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. We don't always get it right, and many times we fail. I fail. But the good news is that God uses even our decisions, our bad decisions and turns them into good ones. We learn along the way how to hear God's voice. Even mistakes teach us how to make better decisions on our road following Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ. The Word of God became flesh. He is the Savior of the world, who has delivered us from the dominion of sin, reconciled to us to God by humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death on the cross. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. He is the head of the church, the exalted Lord, the Lamb who was slain, coming again to reign with God in glory. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you so much for sending Jesus for us, that he could be our example of what to do. And I pray that you'd help each one of us as we make decisions in our lives, as we come to those forks in the road, you'd help us to follow you and use all of our decisions to help us to grow deeper into our faith with you, that we may be followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.